Invite you to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. Romans 8, verse number 1. Preaching a series of messages about the Old and New Testaments. The Old and New Testaments, what the Scripture says, what our Lord's design and wisdom is. This is, as I mentioned last Sunday, this is a look-see into the Scriptures and a study about the wisdom and the depth of the wisdom of God indeed. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, the Scripture says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." Verse 4, "that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." We surveyed this chapter last week, and as we go down through this chapter, we see about this reference to that of the old and that of the new, the inability of the flesh and the great ability and blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ. With these messages, again, I want to state it, I'll state it every time, that our Lord has been saving sinners from the beginning by faith in him, what he has promised, and his ability to fulfill those promises. That's the way the Lord's always saved. But these things are at hand in the Scripture, and we must know what they are and how they are pertinent to the whole thing, the whole counsel and work and wisdom of God. Let us not be confused thinking that there was an Old Testament way to be saved and a New Testament way to be saved, because there's not. There are those that believe that. You may run into them. You may know some that are that way. A lot of Protestantism is filled with this and otherwise. There is and only has been one way of salvation, and that is by faith in our Lord to deliver and the quickening of the Holy Spirit of God. However, the Scripture and our Lord Jesus speaks of two testaments. Therefore, we do well to understand what they are and their purpose. With covenant theology, maybe that's a term that you've heard, and it is a term that is used to describe a system of doctrine. With covenant theology at hand and on so many fronts, we do well to understand the purpose and the implications of the Old and New Testaments. Our very Bible is divided into the two, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so we need to address that and address this and deal with this and understand, may our Lord help us to understand all things related to it. In the last message, we saw that this passage makes indirect reference in Romans 8 to the Old and New Testaments, if you will, that of the flesh and that of Christ. To the old, maybe we would say instead of testaments, the old and new covenants, or the old and new wills of God towards man. Yes, that is, God has given these things. He's done it, and he's given it. It's his interaction between man and himself. We saw in this chapter, verse number 8, it tells, or chapter 8 of Romans, we saw the inability of the flesh to keep up with its end of the testament, covenant or bargain, if you will, and the ability of Christ to do so perfectly. Christ does so and has done so perfectly. Go back to Exodus chapter 24, and these messages are going to require you to have your thinking cap on and to pay attention and to retain. It's a subject that's just greater than we can deal with in one session. I pray that no one would become weary of it. It's going to be work. I'll just tell you that up front. But it is a great and blessed, glorious thing to see how our Lord has worked on our behalf. In Exodus 24, the Lord has given the law, if you will. And remember, the law is comes from this Old Testament, this Old Covenant. It comes from that. It is connected to it. It's a provision of it. In this covenant that the Lord has made, this testament. And here's what Moses did and the people did in receiving that. Exodus 24, verse number 7, and he, Moses, took the book of the covenant, all those words written down, all that given by God unto the children of Israel, and read it in the audience of the people. So it was reviewed. And they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. Verse 8, and Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant, which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words, if you will, in this book. Okay, and so it was sanctified, sealed by that blood of that animal, and they agreed to obeying it. They said they would keep it, but you and I know full well they did not. They said they would. They wanted to, but they didn't do it. So in this message, I want us to go back to that time and learn more about the events of the First Testament, or this will of God. And understand, testament, synonymous terms, synonyms, testament, covenant, or will. Now understand, you and I, we talk about a will as our last will and testament, what we want done, what we want our heirs to do regarding our stuff and maybe our service or funeral service and all that. And those things are going to take place when we die. Well, God never dies. So he's got a will towards man. Jesus died and became a man and died, but he rose from the dead. And so the Lord's got a will, a testament, a covenant towards mankind, indeed, but not because he has died and passed off the scene. Okay, Jesus died for our sins and lives forevermore. Remember, the law, again, was a provision of the First Testament. The Lord had this covenant, this testament that he extended to Israel. And so the law was a necessary provision of that, that they might know what the deal is, that they might understand what their responsibility in it is. The commands of God were the conditions of this first covenant given to mankind. And I believe that that's the case. Now understand, all the world wasn't there. The Lord had a people that he was dealing with in this. But the opinion that God gave from the standpoint of all things moral was given out there and applied to all men on the earth. Those things had always been from the beginning. Now, he gave more to Israel to observe and to worship and serve in that, again, they failed in. But he did this. He gives these commands, the conditions of this first covenant given to mankind, though he did so through a small sample of men, his nation of Israel. I want us to go to Exodus 19 and let's read. I can't tell this to you much better than just reading it. And I want us to hear in this light and in this consideration, just these two chapters, what's said here. I know you're familiar with it, and that's good. Because we're familiar with it, don't just block it out, but listen to what's being said here and how this goes about. The Lord has delivered Israel out of Egypt. He's made a choice amongst them. It's part of his promise to his child, Abraham, and Isaac and Jacob. Now, listen what the Lord does here in this. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, which he had promised Moses he would do, where he would bring them. That's how Moses would know that the Lord was with him, is that he would bring them back to that place where he saw the Lord, met the Lord in the burning bush. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. This is the Lord speaking to Moses, okay? Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. So he tells Moses to tell him, I've got a covenant for you. I've got a deal for you. I've got a testament for you. I've got a will for you. But you've got a responsibility in it. Okay? And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. Here it is. Here it is, fellas. What do you think? I tell you what, that's a great deal. That's a great deal. Besides what the Lord has promised them about Canaan, right? And the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. So we read that over in 24 after they got it all again. And Moses had it in a book there and presented it to the people and sprinkled them with the blood. And it was a deal. God said he would, and they said they would. Right now, it's not written down yet. But it's being told. We're entering into this. Understand this, that the design of the Lord to mankind has always been a relationship. He made mankind, and we'll get ahead of myself here a little bit, but I think it's necessary. God's design in creating mankind has always been for mankind to glorify God and to have a relationship with him. You go back and look at Adam. Adam was visited by the voice of the Lord and his wife in the garden in the cool of the day. It seemed to be a reoccurring thing, a normal thing. And God doesn't fellowship that way with the lions. He doesn't fellowship with the chickens. He doesn't fellowship with the horses and the cows. But he designed us and built us to fellowship with him. He's made us in his image and likeness. He's made us to glorify him in that. Okay? And so, but because of sin, that's been ruined. We'll touch on that again. And so they said, and Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. So he's liaison between the two presently. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee. Okay, so now the Lord is going to begin to speak, and the people are going to be able to hear. Okay? And believe thee forever. So he's sanctifying Moses that he might be even continue to be believed amongst them. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. So he tells them that again. The Lord tells him something. He tells it to the people. And then that the people speak and he gives it back to the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, verse 10, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Hey, they've got a covenant, a coming covenant. And the Lord said, I'm going to do you good if you will obey me. That's what he said. He's chosen them. He's made it apparent that he's dealing with them. A people that have seen his power and his glory and the great deliverance, as he told earlier in the chapter, that he had done. I mean, they had seen signs and wonders. A group of people that had seen the power and the might of the Lord brought on to Egypt and beyond. That's just, other than those that lived in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, no other people have seen such. And so now the Lord says, let's visit. We've got a covenant. Let's fellowship. Let's come together. You know, we enjoy the fellowship that we have here in our church. It's the blessing of the Lord that the Lord gives us, fellowship with one another and fellowship with our Lord. We enjoy that, don't we? We are made, the way we are made in the image and likeness of God is we have a natural need for fellowship, for visiting with one another, for friendship. We have kinship and all that. So that's what the Lord says. Wash your clothes and get ready. I'm going to come down and near to you and amongst you. In 3 days, I'm going to come down in the sight of all the people on Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about. That speaks to our sinfulness. They were sinners. And the righteousness of God is holy and pure and bright and powerful. Saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount, nor touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. And there shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man. and shall not live when the trumpet soundeth long. They shall come up to the mount. So now the Lord is saying, let's visit together, and I'm going to show you my glory, and I'm going to come down here and visit with you, only to a point. You're not going to, because of the condition you're in, sinful flesh, you're not going to be able to come so far. And if you come too far, you're going to be destroyed. You're going to be killed. So here we see the first evidence that there's a disparity between us. They cannot fellowship with the Lord on the Lord's level. There's a desire for the Lord to fellowship with them, but they are limited. They're going to wash their clothes. But do you and I really realize and understand that they didn't really get their clothes clean enough? Now, it was necessary for them to do that, to understand the holiness of the Lord, but the filth of their flesh needed to be put off of them for that time, the best that they could do, but not good enough to get up there close to God. They could only come to a point. There's already problems in this first covenant in there. And not that it's a surprise to God, but it speaks to us. It's his wisdom in dealing with us that it might be understood about who we are. Verse 14, and Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. So he carries the message back. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives, even that intimacy in marriage. Stay away from that because of this appearing before the Lord. And it came to pass, verse 16, on the third day of the morning, that there were thunders and lightning and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud. I've been tempted to make that sound. I thought about getting a recording of a sound. I wouldn't be near like what it was. Can you imagine a moderate to high-pitched trumpet sounding indefinitely? I mean, it's just going to go on and on and on, thunderings and quaking of the mount, and that's normal for God. That's just a normal day, if you will, in the life of God. But what do you think? It scares us to death. I mean, scares us to death. Well, we have times that we can't handle even the weather that the Lord brings about upon the earth, much less the presence of the Lord and His holiness and his righteousness impinging upon this sin-cursed and defiled earth. It's going to shake. Another disparity that we have here. He's so way above us. The voice of the trumpet exceeding loud there in the latter part of verse 16, so that the people, all the people that was in the camp trembled. You're talking about grown men shaking. The scripture bears out that Moses shook at it. And Moses, he's learned about the Lord and wanting more of the Lord. And he's going to be asking for more of the Lord. You can see about some messages in times past about that. And a message that one of our brethren preached. But the camp trembled. Verse 17, and Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount, down there at the limit. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. It's just normal. It's just normal for the Lord to be there in a holy, consuming fire. That's just every day for the Lord. Scares us to death. I mean, it causes us just to melt, causes them to melt. It was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in a fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen forest fires in person, the burning of houses and buildings and dwellings in person. It's a sickening sight. And for such enormity of flame and devouring of just of the landscape, it brings a fear upon us. I'm talking about seeing acres and acres having burned and been burned. The Lord coming down upon this Mount Sinai and burning up everything to the extent of his glory touching. The smoke of a furnace. It's just normal day for the Lord. Normal day. Not for us. And the whole mount quaked greatly. Verse 19, and when the voice of the trumpet sounded long, so that sound is continuing on, and waxed louder and louder, it's getting louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice, and the people were able to hear it. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord and gaze, and many of them perish. And so there was that wonder of the Lord that tempted, would have been a temptation to some, that they would go beyond the bound that was set. I mean, I'm just talking about amazed bewilderment at the sight of this. Like people, people when they are exposed to great calamity and great just things that are just beyond the normal everyday life thing, we become dazed. You've seen people or heard about people involved with wrecks or accidents or great tragedy or whatever. They're just walking around dazed. People in combat, just walking around dazed. These people were so filled with all this that they were seeing, having never seen, they just might walk right in over the bound. Great limitation, isn't there? It's a normal day for the Lord coming to earth, but not for them, not for us. He said, go down, verse 21, charge the people, lest they break through to the Lord and gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. They matter, make sure they're really ready, those priests, because I take it that they're going to come nearer. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to the mount. Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to the mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. Here they are in the great awfulness, you understand the way I use that word, of the presence of the Lord upon the mount. These people, in their anxiousness and their amazement and bewilderment and just totally losing control of their ability to even obey the Lord in a simple thing and don't pass this mark. The Lord knows that they're getting ready to go over the mark and they're going to die. The presence of the Lord and what he is doing coming down on that mount is beyond what they can handle. And they can't even remember what they've been instructed. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them, said, get back, get back. The bound's been set, get back. Verse 20, chapter 20. And God spake all these words, saying, so now God's going to speak. And understand, God's not speaking to Moses. He's speaking to all of them. The entire nation from Mount Sinai is going to hear the voice of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor to do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. Now they've heard the Lord speak. They've heard what the Lord commands and expects in this covenant. Remember, the covenant's being given, the law, a provision of the covenant, so they might know what the yes and no is of this agreement, of this deal, of this testament. Now the Lord having spoken, and what's he done? He's dealt with sin. He's dealt with transgression against him. And now what do the people do? They back up. They back up. They stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, get this, speak thou with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die. They say to Moses, Moses, ask God not to talk with us directly anymore. You know, I wonder about this. Had the people been in a shape to where they could have handled it, that the Lord might have continued on with this for how long? I mean, it's evident the Lord is desiring relationship with his people, isn't he? He's got some rules. He's got some limits. He's got some things that he's requiring of them. And causes them to back up. They say to Moses, Moses, you go talk to the Lord and you have the Lord tell you what he has to say, and then you tell us. But let God not speak with us lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. He said, don't be afraid. This is the Lord's blessing upon us to take it, and we might understand who he is and what he requires of us. I tell you what, to be near the Lord is good. It's good. It's a blessing. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the Lord, the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel. So now he's speaking to Moses again, not to them collectively. You have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall you make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth shalt thou make unto me, and shall sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name will I come unto thee and will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps into mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. So they, the whole nation of Israel, can't stand it. And they say to Moses, you find out from him. Don't have God talk to us directly anymore. We're going to die. So here, the Lord's never thwarted in anything, but in this covenant, in this design, in the wisdom of God bringing this, it's all for a reason and a purpose. We see here the failure and inability of the flesh and of men. Now listen. Listen and understand these things. The design of God from the beginning has been fellowship between he and man. He created us, as I've said, in his image and likeness, so we could glorify him and fellowship with him. But Adam's disobedience ruined that for himself, for Adam, and for us. Dealing with God directly we see, is far and beyond our fallen carnal ability. Even though God kept a distance and did not reveal his full glory, and speaking from the mount as he did, the people could not cope with dealing with one so great. They said it, didn't they? And they said unto Moses in verse 19 of chapter 20, "Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die." They needed a mediator. Right? They wanted a mediator. The greatness and the power, the majesty, the fear, the wonder of the Lord was just too great for them to be able to approach and to be able to cope with that. I invite you to turn over your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 18. And here Brother Moses is preaching unto the children of Israel, the second generation before they go into the land of Canaan. And listen to what he says here. This was a theme for Vacation Bible School some years ago for us. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb," or Sinai, "in the day of assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see his great fire any more, that I die not. I will raise them up a prophet," you see that capital P, "from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, How shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. But the one that does, and it does, you better be afraid of him, because he's from me. But Moses proclaimed, and indeed there was it, that the Lord would send a prophet like unto him. The mediator that the children of Israel chose, the Lord would send one like unto Moses, and give you a hint, he's the bearer of that New Testament. You know what? They needed a mediator and desired a mediator, and we do too. Our Lord provided a covenant, a testament of blessing, to which only a small sample of the world's population were offered, Israel. Okay? It wasn't all to the world, but to this small group. A small group that saw his power and his majesty and his greatness, his great working and power on their behalf. They saw that, but yet they were not able to keep their end of the covenant, of the deal. Not to mention the world, but this small group that saw 10 plagues on their behalf to deliver them, brought them through the Red Sea, provided for them, brought them to that place. It was a wonder. Without a fire being around, without a gun being shot, if you will. And you understand they didn't have guns then. And he delivered them greatly. But even seeing all that, strong children of God are not made by seeing signs and wonders. Strong children of God are made by conviction and faith in the Lord. Amen. And so that's evidence there. The Lord showed with this small sampling of the world's population, even this group that saw so much, that they could not keep this first testament, this Old Testament. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse number 1, let me read a few scriptures to you. The Lord here in this chapter giving a promise in the covenant of blessing or of cursing. He says in verse number 1 of this chapter, Deuteronomy 28, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth." There it is. Verse 15, the 14 verses of blessing there. Verse 15, But if it shall come to pass, if thou will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And I think it goes on for some 40 some verses of cursing. As the Lord said, regarding those inhabitants of Canaan, I'll do worse to you than I sought to do to them, to bring you into the land. In Leviticus chapter 26, verse number 14, in this chapter, our Lord says, but if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, verse 18, and if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. And if you will not be, verse 23, if you will not be reformed by me by these things. Because see, and the Lord knows this, but we need to know it. We're not reformed by good works, are we? Even the holy law of God, we are not changed by it. Remember what we read in Romans 8? The flesh is weak. Therefore, the law, in regards to that relationship and righteousness, it's weak because we're weak in that regard. Verse 27 of Leviticus 26. And if you will not all, for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary to me, the Lord tells them over and over and over again that they need to obey him. And if not, there will be cursing and judgment from him. In Deuteronomy chapter 29, Brother Moses preaches this unto them. Deuteronomy 29:9. Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, as the brother preaches, that ye may prosper in all that you do. Ye stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God. He's speaking to the second generation now. Your captains of your tribes, your elders, your officers, and all with all the men of Israel. These are the ones that lived in 40 years of sojourn that the Lord brought to bring into the land. He's yet has this covenant before them, the children of those that came out of Egypt. Those that came out of Egypt, save for a few that were obedient, died. And he says the same thing to them. Verse 10 of Deuteronomy 29. You stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, for your captains, your tribes, your elders, your officers, with all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, thy stranger that is in thy camp, from the hewer of thy wood unto the drawer of thy water, that thou shouldest enter into the covenant with the Lord thy God and into his oath, which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day. He's still hammering it 40 years later through Moses unto this second generation. Verse 13, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee a God, as he hath said unto thee, and as he has sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. They said they'd keep it, but they didn't, did they? If they'd have kept it, would God have made good on it? To this day. But they could not keep it. In conclusion, for this message, over there in Exodus 24, Moses took the book of the covenant where all those things have been written down, read it again in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. The Old Testament. He took the blood of the animal and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold it, look at this. This testament you've enjoined unto the Lord, this covenant that the Lord has enjoined unto you, it's sealed by the blood of an animal. The very life of that which lives. Serious business. Behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. But then we come over to Mark chapter 14, verse number 24, and our Lord Jesus there, observing the Passover and instituting the Lord's Supper with his church. His church there, his first church that has been with him for the 3 years of his ministry. He said unto them, taking the wine, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. So we see the old, but our Lord Jesus speaks of the new. Old or New Testament? Which do you want? Old or New Testament? Which do you need? Here's what Brother Peter says about the Old Testament, Acts 15, verses number 10 and 11. As the brethren came down from Antioch, and there were those that had come from Jerusalem going up there to Antioch, the Gentiles mainly being saved there at Antioch in Syria. And they said that those Gentiles needed to be circumcised in order for their salvation to be good and whole and right and continuing. They came down, and Paul and Barnabas were sent down to Jerusalem, other brethren maybe, but Paul and Barnabas being the notable ones sent from Antioch. They bring that before the apostles and the church there at Jerusalem. And you know what Brother Peter says about the Old Testament? "Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" That's what Peter said. Our fathers couldn't bear it, and we couldn't bear it, that old covenant. But here's what he said. "But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they." Peter's not saying that they're not saved yet, but he's saying as we have been saved, the salvation of our souls and the ultimate salvation, redemption of the body, the way the Lord saved us, by the favor of the Lord Jesus Christ, the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ that he's accomplished. We had several messages recently about the faithfulness of Christ. Our faith in the faithfulness of Christ is what saves and what redeems us. We rest in him and trust in him. He says, "We trust that by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are saved, our souls saved, our lives being saved, our body ultimately being saved." It'll work the same way with them. Old Testament or new? Which do you need? Old Testament or new? Which do you want? Here's what Jesus says in closing. Hebrews 10. This is just kind of a taste for the next message. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 9. The apostle writing, and here speaking of Christ. In verse number 9, "Then said he," speaking of Christ, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second." Old Testament, New Testament, what do you have? If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to our Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament won't do you any good. That old covenant won't do you any good because you can't keep it. The law given by necessity in that covenant does show that you are guilty before God as a sinner and a transgressor. You and I deserve the condemnation, the damnation of God for our sins. But praise be to God and the wisdom of God, there is a new and living way through our Lord Jesus Christ. A new testament. A testament that we'll see that is provided completely and solely by Christ and his righteousness and his fulfilling of this old for sinners like you and me.